WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. A judge extends voter registration in Virginia, so you now have until midnight tonight. Bridgewater College will likely lay off 13% of its employees. And we profile GOP candidate for the 7th District, Nick Freitas. This is the WMRA Daily for Thursday, October 15th. A federal judge on Wednesday extended the deadline for Virginians to register to vote. You now have until midnight tonight to register. The last day of registration was supposed to be Tuesday, but the state website citizens used to register went offline when a construction crew severed a fiber optic cable on Tuesday. Virginia Public Radio's Jad Khalil has more.
Voters can now register by 11:59 p.m. on Thursday. State officials didn't have the legal authority to extend the deadline themselves. Several voting rights groups sued to extend the deadline. The Attorney General's office didn't oppose the suit and had drafted a consent decree that formed the basis of the extension. After a brief digital hearing, U.S. District Judge John Gibney granted the motion for a temporary restraining order. He ordered state election officials to take all necessary action to extend the deadline and inform the public. The extension applies to all methods of voter registration, since the outage affected the ability of voters who registered in person to check on their registrations. Online voter registration is much higher this election season than during the last general election. The judge also said he would contact registrars who might not want to register voters in the extended period. I'm Jad Khalil.
Okay, procrastinators, you've got until midnight tonight to get to your registrar's office, to get your registration in the mail for postmark, or to register online at elections.virginia.gov/registration. So get to it and vote. Bridgewater College will likely lay off up to 13% of its employees. The Daily News Record reports that's the recommendation from a task force formed to find ways to cut costs at the private school. It would result in about 40 staff and faculty losing their jobs. 2 years before the pandemic began, Bridgewater College began a process to review which academic and support programs should be given more resources, cut, or phased out. Student enrollment is down by almost 9%, 1,600 students this year compared to 1,750 last year. The task force's recommendations include reducing the equestrian program and phasing out men's golf and the dance team. They also include discontinuing six academic majors: applied chemistry, French, mathematics, nutritional science, philosophy and religion, and physics. Faculty and staff whose positions will be eliminated are guaranteed employment at the college through June 30th and will be offered a severance package. Those decisions have not been made yet. The Board of Trustees will vote on the recommendations at its November meeting. The University of Virginia will begin testing all students in residence halls for COVID-19 at least once every 9 days. UVA said Tuesday that it will also increase asymptomatic testing of students living off grounds. On Wednesday, James Madison University announced that its December commencement will be virtual again because of the pandemic. The commencement will take place on Saturday, December 19th. Meanwhile, the 7-day average of new coronavirus cases is again rising in Virginia. That daily average has climbed to nearly 900 cases after dropping to around 700 in late September, according to the Virginia Public Access Project. As of Wednesday, 3,381 people in Virginia have died from COVID-19. That's equivalent to losing all the people in Elkton and Mount Crawford combined. The lawyer who won the landmark Loving versus Virginia case, striking down the state's law against interracial marriage, has died. Bernard S. Cohen was 86. Cohen and legal colleague Phil Hirschkopf represented Richard and Mildred Loving, a white man and black woman, who were convicted in Virginia in 1959 of illegally cohabiting as man and wife and ordered to leave the state for 25 years. Cohen and Hirschkopf represented the Lovings as they sought to have their conviction overturned. It resulted in the Supreme Court's unanimous 1967 Loving versus Virginia ruling, which declared anti-miscegenation laws unconstitutional. Cohen later had a successful political career as a state legislator. He died Monday of complications from Parkinson's disease at his home in Fredericksburg, according to his son. A personal note on that story: because of the work of Mr. Cohen and others and the extraordinary bravery of the Lovings and their refusal to give in to the state of Virginia, my marriage today is possible. It would not have been until 1967, thanks to that Supreme Court ruling, and many thanks to Mr. Cohen. Finally today, yesterday we profiled former CIA officer Abigail Spanberger, who 2 years ago narrowly won Virginia's 7th District congressional seat. She became the first Democrat to represent the Central Virginia District in decades, but can she hold it? Republican Nick Freitas is hoping not. Virginia Public Radio's Mallory Nopaine spoke with him and has this profile.
The Cook Political Report rates the seat as leaning Democratic. Although that may spell an uphill battle for Republican Nick Freitas, he does have name recognition on his side. Freitas has represented the Culpeper area in Virginia's House of Delegates for 5 years. He's an Army vet with a conservative voting record. While most of his Republican colleagues compromised to support Medicaid expansion, he held out, voting against the program that provided government-funded health insurance to hundreds of thousands of Virginians. In our recent interview, Freitas says a right to health care isn't worth much if someone can't access a doctor.
Because a politician calling health care a right or a politician writing a law saying that everyone gets access to health care doesn't mean you have access to a doctor, a nurse, a hospital, a specialist. The only way that we can actually provide quality, affordable health care is if we increase supply.
He says the way to increase supply is for the government to reduce regulations and get out of the way, including rolling back the Affordable Care Act. He doesn't believe the government has a role in regulating health care beyond what he calls certain, quote, fail-safe measures.
And honestly, on a moral level, I think it's wrong for politicians to insert themselves into that transaction.
Another moral issue for Freitas is abortion. As a state lawmaker, he speaks passionately about preventing abortions almost every year on the House floor. Freitas says the government's role is to support women with unplanned pregnancies by vigorously enforcing child support payment laws, not by providing money to healthcare organizations that provide abortions.
I mean, I'd be far more in favor of funding going to organizations that are actually fighting to preserve life and actually help women through that process, not just of giving birth, but actually supporting the child after they're born, than I would with sending tax dollars to the abortion industry.
But if he wins and heads to Congress, the most likely thing to be top of the agenda is COVID-19 financial relief. Freitas supports waiving certain payroll taxes and mortgage and rent relief. He does not support increased unemployment benefits or direct payments to people.
The solution cannot be just the government continually handing out more relief checks on money it doesn't have. And I'm really concerned that the government's going to get to a position where it starts using the printing press in order to actually finance the stimulus package that it's sending out.
Freitas' libertarian streak extends to other issues and often overrides party loyalty. He was one of a handful of Republicans in the State House who voted in support of decriminalizing marijuana. At the time, he said chasing low-level drug offenders isn't a good use of state resources. He also split with many in his party when he voted in support of no-excuse absentee voting, and he's already taken advantage of the new system.
It was a good experience. Registrar's office wasn't too crowded. I think that as people have grown more and more concerned about not only access to the ballot, but also the integrity of our elections, I think the early in-person voting presents a good option.
Virginians in the 7th District can do the same and vote now, or wait until Election Day. The campaigns certainly think every vote will matter. They've spent more than $11 million on political ads. In Richmond, I'm Mallory Nopaine.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks so much for listening. Stay safely connected and enjoy your Thursday.